You'd like to turn now to the second epistle of Peter. We'll read the whole of chapter 3. That's the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up in your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles, of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished, and the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, which are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, as 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Sometimes, when I'm asked to preach, it's difficult to know what to preach. Sometimes, events have happened, and you think about them. And several months ago, this sermon started. And it is born out of events and a reflection of words that I've heard of. And I've been caused to think about over the past few months. And the two words are unprecedented, meaning it never happened before, never existed in the past, and unexpected, not expected in regard to what has happened. I'm sure that they're words that we've all used and all heard. But how we respond to these words is very revealing. The way the world responds is a very different to the way that the child of God, a Christian, a believer, responds. We as Christians are in the world and we live amongst the world. But our responses should not be influenced by the world. the way that we respond should be influenced, moulded by the Word of God. And I think the thing that triggered this most was earlier in the year, there'd been flooding, and I kept on hearing about this flooding, that it was unprecedented. Numerous reporters used these words, and then some said they were of biblical proportion. And the world loves this hyperbolic phrases and all these things used so often to try and terrify us and scare us. But these reporters are unable to hold the unexpected or the unprecedented in the right way, even in a true biblical way. For any reporter that says a flood is of biblical proportions shows his ignorance of the Word of God. And so the word unprecedented, what does it really mean? Is it an unprecedented day? We all know that the floods recorded in Genesis, it wasn't a local flood, the whole world was flooded. If that flood the reporter had been reporting on, he would not be standing there reporting. We know that only Noah and his family survived the flood. And because of ignorance, because of unbelief, because of willful ignorance, men of this world, the reporters, use these words, not realizing the significance of them. But if we stop and just think about what an unprecedented event is, when I heard this word, I started thinking about unprecedented events throughout the Word of God. And I'm not quite sure where to begin or stop. You could say every day of creation was unprecedented. There'd never been anything like it before. I've just mentioned Noah's flood. Think about the delivery of the people of Israel from Egypt. All those plagues, days that were unprecedented. Think of their escape and the drowning of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. We could say Elijah, when he was on Mount Carmel. And then we come to the New Testament, the birth of our Saviour. The world didn't recognise it, but we know that was an unprecedented day when our Saviour took upon himself human flesh and came into this world. And then, of course, when our Saviour died upon the cross and rose again on the third day and then ascended into heaven. And so, if we have the right understanding of God's word, we can help understand those events. The heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. But if we know the word of God, we won't rage and we won't imagine a vain thing. As I've said, the floods go very closely with that warning of global warming and the destruction of the human race. But we know that the Lord is over and above all things, and the destruction will come when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to judge this world of unrighteousness. But the world, as I said, they're ignorant of God. They know nothing of the true God. They know nothing that God has been merciful to sinners and has revealed himself through the scriptures. And so the reaction of the Christian, of the believer, is different. And Peter, in this epistle, gives us some guides to how to cope with unexpected, unprecedented effects, unexpected days and events. And the first bit of advice he gives us is he writes, "Stir up your minds in way of remembrance." Stir up your mind in the way of remembrance. Remembrance of God's word and what has gone on. He says that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles and of the Lord Saviour. Everything should be compared to God's word. Stir up your minds, be mindful. That will give us the right perspective of all that is going on in the world, in the nation, and in our land. And notice that Peter says, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles and of the Lord and Saviour. The Old Testament and the New Testament are just as relevant for today as they were when they were written. A lot of believers will spend a lot of emphasis on the New Testament, but they forget the Old. And so we're to stir up our minds in remembrance of the Old and the New Testament. And as Peter writes in verse 3, we read, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. We live in the last days, and we see the scoffers, don't we? Those that mock God, mock God's followers, God's church, that mock and will not acknowledge God's work. They will not acknowledge that men are sinful and that the world is full of sinful men. As we read in Proverbs, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. And that is very evident in the society in which we live, in those that have authority over us. So many of them are scorners of God's word. They won't seek wisdom. They won't seek the word of God, which is all wisdom. And as a consequence, we're badly ruled and governed. And Peter goes on to say again in verse 5, he says, for this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens are of old. They willfully ignore all that they can see in God's creation. As we know that Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his holy work. They willfully ignorant of God's creation. If they stopped for a few moments and just considered it, they would realize that there is a creator of this world. And again, as we read in Romans, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, but they're willfully ignorant. And in denying the creation of the world, what are they doing? They're denying that we were created in God's image. They're denying that men are sinful. They're denying that sin has entered in the world, that the world has fallen. And again, as we know in Romans, we read, for we know that the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And so floods, earthquakes, or whatever are a result of sin, because the world fell and it groans and travaileth in pain. And so these unexpected events, unprecedented, we know that they will happen because God's word tells us. So we shouldn't be surprised. But we see that man in his arrogance, being willfully ignorant of God, in denying that the Lord has created heaven and earth, they shout and they scoff and they mock. But there is one event which is truly, by definition, unprecedented. And we read of it in verse 10 when Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That will truly be an unprecedented day. And yes, it will be unexpected, because we know that the Lord will come as a thief in the night, but not unexpected in that the believer is not prepared for it. But it will be unexpected for those that have mocked God, that haven't taken any heed of his word. And that word of the coming day, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, We have so many records, don't we, statements coming from Christ. He says in Matthew 25, verse 13, "Watch therefore, ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." And later on, in Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So yes, an unexpected day, but we know, because God's word tells us, that that day comes. And again, Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Unprecedented, yes, but not unexpected, but unexpected in the time. And again, in Revelation, that last book of the Bible, we read, "Remember therefore now that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I'll come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Or again, later on in Revelation, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." So we expect that day, and so we take care on how we live, how we watch, how we wait. Again, Peter says, doesn't he, says later on, "Seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him." He gives us instructions that while we wait, we're to be diligent in our lifestyle. Again, I thought in Revelation, when he says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they seek his shame." We are clothed with that garment of salvation. We are clothed with Christ's righteousness, and therefore we're to seek to walk righteously until he comes. We're to confess our sins and seek that forgiveness so that we are prepared when the Lord does return in all his glory. And so we've all been warned. I've mentioned the days of Noah, but just think of those days of Noah. Noah was about 100 years in preparing the ark. All the scoffers, the scorners, they knew that that day, or they were told that day was coming, but they didn't expect it. But that day did come, and so only Noah and his family went into the ark. Only 8 souls, a day that the world had been warned about, but they didn't expect. And so Noah took heed to God's word and acted accordingly. He built that ark. He was prepared. He was waiting for that day. And so when that day came, it was a day that he was prepared for. And we know the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is also that day of judgment. Again, as I've said, an unprecedented day. We know from Corinthians, don't we? "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And again in Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." We're mindful that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and therefore we have asked, we have sought forgiveness through our Saviour. But the world is ignorant of this, willfully. If you preach the gospel and they say that the Lord Jesus Christ will return to judge the world in righteousness, they will mock and they will scoff. As the days of Noah, they think that everything will continue as it is, but they just demonstrate their ignorance. But we need to be mindful, and so we are prepared for that day. And for the unbeliever, the response is shown by the arrogance of men, the way that they will mock and scoff at those that preach the gospel. They will mock and scoff you when you say that you believe God's word, that you were created. And I'm reminded from Isaiah chapter 55, we read of these words which sum up the unbeliever, the scoffer. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, say the God. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours. So the scoffer, the mocker, they have their thoughts, and they think they're right. But we know that our thoughts are not right because we fell, we were sinful. But we know that God's thoughts are pure and good, that God is always right and correct because he is the sovereign Lord God. And so the unbeliever denies the truth of God, the truth of God's word. And as I said, God's word starts in Genesis and it ends at Revelation. Because the world denies the fall, denies creation, they deny God, they deny God's commandments. And it's always been so. What did God said to Adam in the Garden of Eden, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What happened? They did eat, and they did die. But those that mock and scoff deny that death has come into this world because of sin. They don't take notice, again, that one day they too will die. How often, in the arrogance of men, do you hear them saying, eat, drink, and be merry, and then mock that one day they will die. Or they act as if they're immortal and going to live forever. They won't take heed to that day that they will die. Or again, it's gone out of fashion a bit, but a year or two ago, there were lots of things saying that men believe they could become immortal, and a lot of time was spent on this thing of cryogenics where they freeze the body waiting for science to find the mystery of eternal life. And just the other day, I didn't read the article, but the headline was enough, saying that we could live forever with artificial intelligence. Men denying the truth of God's word, men denying that they're sinners, that they will die. But as we know, death is physical and death is spiritual. Again, the scoffers, the ones that are unprepared, are those that mock God, that won't take heed to his word. They won't listen. And so when that day does come, it's unexpected for them. Again, Peter says that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the Lord our Saviour. Be mindful. Don't be willingly ignorant of God's word. Pay most attention to God's word rather than the opinions of men. When all these events happen, think how you would answer them according to Scripture. See for parallels in Scripture. And we become mindful of God's word by reading God's word, by believing God's word, by studying God's word, by listening to God's word being preached. And then we will be prepared for those unprecedented days, those unexpected days. But also, we read, didn't we, to be mindful of the Lord and Saviour. Mindful of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, remember, he is the Lord over all events in life. He is the one that is over and above all things. That this world is ordered after the counsel of his own will. And so while events might be unprecedented, unexpected to us, they're not unexpected to our Lord and our Saviour. And again, the second part, he's our Saviour. We have come to him in our unrighteousness, in our unbelief. We have confessed to him our sins and sought his forgiveness, that forgiveness that can only be found through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, the Lord and Saviour, we need to get that grasp of the sovereignty of God. Because if we have that true grasp of God's sovereignty, we will be helped through this life. When I came to a better understanding a knowledge of God's sovereignty. That's been a tremendous help and comfort to me throughout this life. And if you haven't read it, I would recommend getting Pink's book on the sovereignty of God, or listen to those tapes that have been preached on the sovereignty of God. I can't remember, I meant to check whether they're online. But again, get that grasp, and then you'll be well prepared for any unprecedented day or any unexpected date, because you will know that the Lord is in control. Despite what those scoffers and those mockers say, those that think that they know everything, think that science will explain everything. No, the Lord is over and above all the events of this world. And again, we love to quote those verses from Luke chapter 12, don't we? Where we read, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Then the Lord says, "Are not 5 farthings sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye have more value than many sparrows." As believers, the Lord knows the hairs on our head. And that, I'm going to say, is the extent of his sovereignty. But it goes even deeper than that, because it's not only the hairs on my head, it's on everybody's head. And so the Lord is sovereign over all things in this life. And again, a verse that so often we quote, but sometimes our life denies it by our response to unprecedented events, to unexpected events. We all say, don't we? And we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And such statements, such belief, are only possible because the Lord God is truly sovereign over and above all things. As I said, we're to be mindful of our Saviour. And that's the difference between the one that is concerned and gets despairing at unprecedented events, unexpected events. And Peter closes this epistle. He says, and his advice, having talked about the Lord coming again, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, mindful of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, both together." There used to be, and I'm not quite sure, but at one stage there was a theory going around a lot of churches that you could have Christ as Saviour, but then later as Lord. No, you have to have Christ as Lord and Saviour. You cannot apportion Christ and say, "I'll believe on him today and tomorrow I'll accept him as Lord." If you believe on him, you believe on him as your Lord and your Saviour. We acknowledge that we're sinners. We acknowledge that the wages of sin is death, both physical and spiritual. And the world does sometimes grudgingly accept that God exists, that Christ has come, but they won't accept him as Lord and Saviour. And I once heard a doctor talking about cancer, and he said that cancer, unlike many other illnesses, give people a time to prepare for death. And he meant all those practical details. But we know that death comes upon us all. So are we prepared? Are we preparing for that day, that great day, that unexpected day? As I said, most people in the world think that death is the end. But as Peter reminds us, he says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." That day when Christ returns, that day of judgment, the world doesn't expect it because they don't, and they're not mindful of God's word. The believer expects it. We don't know the exact time, but we can be prepared. The ungodly will perish because that day was unexpected. They were unprepared. They were unbelievers. They were unforgiven. They were unrepentant. But Christ has that appointed time, and we know that Christ is returning, because his word tells us, because we believe the word of God. Again, Peter, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles and the Lord and Saviour. We are prepared because we've taken notice of those God's word, and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour. We have sought that forgiveness. We have confessed our sins to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the believer knows that what follows death is precious. He knows that Christ has gone before to prepare that place for him. Or as Job reminds us, and again, the importance of the Old Testament. Job says in Job 19, those famous verses which we probably all know, but if we dismissed the Old Testament, we would get no comfort from these words. Job 19 says in verse 25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." We have that hope that Christ has gone before to prepare that place, that Christ, we will see him in a body when we're raised in glory, raised in perfection. But those that are mindful, those that are willingly ignorant, will not see the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not be prepared for that day to meet him. And then, of course, those words that we read in Revelation. In Revelation 21, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and the God himself shall be with them. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And that is what we expect on that unprecedented day. But we do expect that we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've read in Peter, again, chapter 3 and verses 12, he says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God." Because we know that when Christ returns, we will be in a better place. As Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." The world, the mockers, the scoffers can't say that. But until that day comes, we're to be mindful of God's word. We're to walk in the paths, in the commandments of our God. We live by faith. It might be hard to understand of all that is going on round about us, the events of this world, but we know that the Lord is with his people, that the Lord's eye is upon his people, and the Lord cares for his people. And so we might not understand, but we're to be doers of the word. We're to walk according to the word. And as Paul, in his epistle, he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Paul writing there, he had had unexpected days, unprecedented days when he was persecuted. But he says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Despite all those days, Paul knew, because he had committed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was safe, that he will one day meet his Saviour. And so at the end of the epistle, he writes, "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knew that he was going to face death, but he was prepared. And so we will continue to have unexpected days, unprecedented days, But how do we prepare for those days? How do you cope with those days? Take heed again to God's word and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we finished, as this chapter in Peter finishes, he says, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. But there is just one more verse I'd like to read, or a couple of verses, that show the way of dealing with an unprecedented and unexpected day. It's very simple, and you can go away and meditate upon this. In Luke 23, when our Saviour is on the cross, when he is between those thieves on the cross, we read, don't we? And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Truly unprecedented day, an unexpected day. One mocked God, one mocked Christ, but one looked to Christ and said, remember me. And so, whatever event we find ourselves, let us always look to Christ and ask him for help in our time of need. Amen.
Amen.
And our closing hymn, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. Hymn number 607.
Jesus, as thy God.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.